Hey everybody, welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. This is our 92nd episode. That's a lot. I think we're nonagenarians now. And I have the regular crew, the special crew.
Yeah.
The crew that you know and love. James, Greg, and John, and myself, Jonathan Metz.
Johnny Metz.
And, you know, one of our very special members was absent last week. That's James Jones.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. What were you out for?
I was up in D.C. with a close friend of mine.
Sweet. Okay. Hope you got laid. Well, since you weren't here last week, man, why don't you go first with your new business?
Oh, we're going right into it, huh? All right. Well, I brought the Wii up there because I figured everything in D.C. shuts down after a certain hour, and neither of us go to sleep at regular times. I figured we could play it. We could play Brawl since they had almost no experience using a Wii yet. And I was thwarted by the LodgeNet system, which essentially shut my TV out from me adding any sort of electronic equipment to it. And in fact, when I managed to get the system hooked up to it, apparently notified room service because they called up and asked if the TV was acting strangely. Mm. So there went that wonderful scheme. So mostly I've been playing Brawl, played it on and off since I got back from Washington.
Wait. What I want to know is, what did you play on LodgeNet since you couldn't hook your Wii to it?
Well, there are some great game N64 titles available. And
yes.
By great, I mean none of them worth fucking playing.
They're really expensive, too.
Yeah, it was like $10 for every half hour.
Yeah,
and it was like
yeah,
Super Mario 64 and, what was it? I'm trying to think what the games were now, but
your money's better spent on porn.
No, not really. Not their porn. They didn't even have any good porn on there. We went through the entirety of the pay-per-view system and just
insult to injury.
And just insulted the entire thing, and it was just awful. The best, though, was that there was the porn page, and then the next page was the Disney Kids page, and I just thought that was a lovely dichotomy. So for like 20 minutes when we just didn't have anything on TV, I was going back and forth between them and trying not to laugh.
Okay, sorry to interrupt there.
Played a lot of Brawl, which we've already reached the point of talking to death. But I'm gonna
No, we haven't. This is the game of the forever. Yeah. That means we have to talk about it forever.
Okay. Well, since I missed the conversation about using controllers, I personally use the classic controller, and my control scheme is pretty similar to what it was talked about last week, where I have jump on A because 22 years of video gaming have trained me to believe that jumping should be done with an A button. Mm-hmm. I have special attack on B, and I have regular attack on, what is it, X? It's right next to B.
Whoa.
X is the top button.
X is the top button, so it's Y.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so you're using special attacks below normal attacks?
Mm-hmm. That's what works for me.
Well, so it is sort of like with, B and A on the GameCube's kind of, I mean, they're more just next to each other, but you know what I mean? It's sort of
right.
That way, isn't it?
I sort of mimicked the GameCube layout a bit, because, and I sort of tried to just sort of, I don't use the special attacks as much as I use the regular attacks, so really I'm just moving horizontally between jump and attack, and I drop down when I want to use a special. And
by horizontally, you kind of, you mean going between A and Y?
Yeah.
See, I think of that as like going diagonally across. To me, horizontally would be between A and B.
But B is below.
There's no correct way because it's skewed, you know.
But, yeah. But you know, I turned off up jump because up jump is the bane of my existence.
Indeed.
And that's basically it. I was upset that I couldn't map the D-pad to movement, but I've already discussed that.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
I left on C sticking because I don't care if it's cheap. I'm going to use it against like multi-man melee, and
it's good for that. Yeah. I should try to use that.
Besides that, I haven't really done a whole lot with the control schemes. You know, when I have the GameCube controller, I use that standard, and I tried using the nunchuck attachment, and that was just ungodly painful. I just couldn't get that to work right. I'm like, all right, it's time to jump. Why am I not jumping? Oh, God, I'm falling. I died.
It sounds like you gave it the old college try.
Yeah, well, to put it in perspective, my 3-year-old niece was able to figure out jumping more frequently than I was able to pull it off. Because I'm just so trained to jumping like this, and then I go, oh, God, I'm not jumping. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, son of a bitch. And to make it worse, the first stage, we had it on random, the first stage I played Nunchuck with was that god-awful, what's it, Poke City? The one...
Oh, Newport City.
Yeah.
The gigantic one.
Yes, and I can't jump or shit on it. Suddenly I'm dead all the time. I'm just falling down to the bottom slowly going, God, jump! Jump! And then...
Speaking of jumping... Have any of you had the experience where you're playing All-Star or Boss Battle mode and you're using someone like Snake or Sonic who doesn't jump very high and you try to jump over the little platform to get to the heart containers but you don't jump high enough?
Yeah.
And you end up going to the next battle even though you've got 180% and you could have just used a heart.
The risk I have is just, I'm so impatient, I just run straight in. Oh shit, I'm 150, aren't I? I just run straight into it. Doesn't matter whether there's a trophy there or I need health, I'm just like, gotta get to the net. Oh, you know, that's far more of a risk than just botching the jumping or anything for me.
It's funny.
I just.
Alright, well, James, have you played anything else?
Well, I got Bully Scholarship Edition for review today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I only got to play about 20 minutes so far, so, you know, I've just done the basic sort of introductory stuff so far. One thing that I really am sort of surprised about, but not really, is that it looks graphically like the PS2 version. And the PS2 version wasn't exactly a graphical showcase of the system. And I'm sort of disappointed by that, since they were already making a 360 version. Why couldn't they just...
Yeah, but dude, I heard the 360 version looks like the PS2 game as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good job, Rockstar. Well, that's sort of just... Well, it's going to be reflected in my review if things don't improve. Let's put it that way. Because it's pretty unacceptable at the point it's at right now. And besides that...
That's a shame. I mean, Rockstar has never been really a graphical powerhouse.
Yeah, but...
They're trying to change that reputation, I guess, with GTA 4, but
it's just like,
yeah,
even
know.
On the PS2, that game would have been considered graphically below the top tier.
Yeah.
So there's really no excuse for that game looking like it does on the Wii. And if it, and
yeah,
if it,
2 years
if
later.
It looks like that on the 360, that's just insulting.
Yeah. Well, the 360 had a lot of games, especially like when it first, like the launch games, it had a lot of stuff that looked basically like PS2 games.
Yeah, but the system's 2 years old now. I mean, you should be...
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, it's not a totally unusual case on the 360.
Well, the first time I saw God of War 2 on the PS2, I said, wow, this looks just like a 360 game, because that's how 360 games looked at the time. They weren't much above PS2 yeah. games.
Well...
Right.
At least well-done ones.
Yeah, but this game wouldn't even be considered a well-done PS2 game. I would say on the PS2 it's probably an 8 graphically at most. I'd say on the 360 it'll be like a 4.
Brutal.
Well, anyway, hopefully the game plays well. I mean, I was you beat me to the punch by about 5 minutes on calling.
Yeah,
in, so
I felt bad.
I may have to go buy it if you really highly recommend it, or I may wait until the 360 price drop that's going to come out with GTA 4 and just get that instead.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, I was thinking about taking the other game that came up instead that we just couldn't pan off on anybody. John, you know what game this is, don't you?
Oh, what one? Homie Rollers?
Yeah, Homie Rollers.
Yeah, Homie Rollers.
Zach got
that
one.
That one sat in the queue for a long time. You know, but of course, who took it? Take a wild guess.
Zach.
Of course, Zach.
Oh,
yeah, actually,
he's a pro.
I actually called Zach a trade-in credit whore today. I don't know if he liked that or not.
He kind of is. I mean, I almost compared him to Jeff Shirley, but the thing is, Jeff actually really mainly wants the bad games, and Jeff is not as active as he used to be. He used to really take a lot of them.
Oh yeah.
The thing is, Zach will take good games too.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach will basically review anything. He's just a total review slut.
Yeah, he really is. But the thing is, you know, I would have a problem with it, except the fact that, I mean, he actually turns in good reviews, and he reviews them really quickly, so, you know.
Right. And he's taking a lot of burden off of the rest of
us.
Yeah,
he really is.
I think he reviewed like maybe 12 games in the fall holiday season.
Jesus.
He's a machine.
It was totally insane. He would have like 3 at a time, and he was actually churning them out, unlike a lot of other people who had 3 at a time.
I still haven't
finished them.
What?
Not even you, Lindemann, yeah. But yeah, there are a couple other people who
you know,
yeah.
do as I say, not as I do, all right? Come on, people.
That's okay.
Come on.
Yeah,
where's that review, Johnny?
Kind of, you know,
where's that review?
I'm on spring break this week, and I was like, hey, I could actually, like, do a review, you know, like, even though I'm semi-retired and all.
Mm-hmm.
That's a game I'm interested in. Yeah. I've got a lot of free time this week. I should volunteer for a review. Nope, James took it.
Well, you know.
I hope you enjoy it, bastard.
It'll taste so much sweeter knowing that I stole it right out from under you.
Oh, it's getting a couple extra points on the score.
That's right.
Huh?
It's a 10 now, baby.
Yeah, you make sure you put the caveat on that in the text. Maybe enjoyment may be enhanced by other people's misery.
It is. Schadenfreude. Sweet.
All right.
Schadenfreude. Oh, yes.
Well, Greg, I know that you've been playing something new this week.
Yes, that's right. I got my Brawl in just the day after recording last week, so it's been a week of Brawl. Pretty much wall-to-wall Brawl, and it all works fine with the freeloader. No problems whatsoever. I've been doing online and all the rest of it with varying degrees of success. I mean, the random matches have been generally kind of, like, iffy. So it's some kind of bizarre kind of things, like, I mean, like you said, you get a group going and that's good, but there's some peculiar stuff that goes on, like, you know, I had a decent group go with 4 people, and you know, it's kind of laggy and it was kind of iffy, but it was playable. And then we'd have one game where it just went to a crawl, or not even a crawl, a stop, where it just degenerated into a series of still pictures. And it was the longest 2 minutes ever, let's put it that way. And I just didn't get that. You know, if you've got 4 people that you've kind of, the same 4 playing an anonymous match over and over again, and it was, you know, playable, when did it suddenly become unplayable? That was kind of weird.
Well, for one thing, Greg, you don't know that those are the same 4 people that you played with the match before.
No, I guess not, but normally it's sort of pretty, like, you know, what happens is, like, when someone gets kicked out, like, it triggers the timer that goes on forever again. You know, mm-hmm. So unless it did it really seamlessly, you would think you'd notice. Because, like, when you've got 4, you just, you know, you pick a stage, pick a character, play. Whereas if someone goes out and comes in, you kind of have to wait and stuff. So I would have assumed it was the same group, but you could be right. You don't know, obviously, because it's all anonymous and stuff. There's no way to be sure about that. But I mean, it's
But you and I played a pretty smooth series.
Yeah,
of matches
I was quite shocked when we had that. When we had that game, because I mean, I'd had a few games like with. I think I had a friend match with someone off the forums and Evan, which was pretty brutal. I mean, as you'd expect, because they're all the way over there, over the West Coast. But I mean, obviously Colorado is still pretty far away, and I mean, the thing with that was there was some lag. I mean, there was a lot of, like, with Yoshi, I like to run straight at people and bear down on them, and there was a lot of, like, I'll just run straight past you, because rather than running at you and then hitting you in the face with Yoshi's face, it was kind of like, no, it's registered it late and now I'm just swinging at air while you know. So that was but once you adjusted to that, it did run at a decent speed, you know, it ran at full speed. It was just...
Yeah, and some matches were smoother than others.
There was a bit of...
For the most part, I was pretty impressed. I was thinking, you know, I'm playing him against at least a third of the world's circumference right now.
No, I was really pleasantly surprised given my other experiences, but then most of that is the anonymous stuff, which, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you'd think with the anonymous stuff, you'd try and matchmake in as close a geographical radius as possible. So maybe, you know...
Yeah, but what does that mean for you?
Well,
like,
I mean, there
New
is
York?
A small cadre of freeloading players over here, but there's probably not exactly a significant percentage of the people that are playing Brawl at any one time.
Is the system client-based or is it server-based? Because if it's client-based, that'd make a huge difference. If it's server-based, you'd be lagging all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't really know, James.
Yeah, we're not entirely sure. I mean, is it just like with random matches, it uses the server to do matchmaking, and then that's it, and then something like that? I don't know. It's kind of a bit foggy on how it sets everything up. But I mean, in general, it hasn't been too bad. And it gives the matches I played with Johnny really gives me some hope for people on the Eastern Seaboard in the United States, like yourselves, James and John. And also, once more people get it over here, once it comes out, or whatever, it should be fine. I mean, obviously, because it's pretty densely populated over here, there should be a lot of people within a very close geographical radius. Yeah, so, I mean, the games I had with Johnny do give me some sort of cause for optimism in terms of what I could manage with people on the Eastern Seaboard, like James and John, and obviously when more people get it over here. But, I mean, it was nice. It was just nice for once to have, like, a string of playable games, obviously, against quite a capable player in Johnny, and we had a lot of fun with it. I was quite
surprised.
Greg
is not bad either, I'll have you know.
Yeah, well, I've kind of actually changed the way I play from Melee a bit, because, like, having turned off, like, up jump and stuff, I used to occasionally, like, sort of lean towards tapping that, like, in a pinch. And I think I'm better now that I don't do that. That I've sort of taken that temptation away from myself. I think I play a bit better without it. And I've put grab on the side of the kidney bean buttons. What is it? Is it X?
Mm-hmm.
I think,
yeah.
which is kind of nice, actually. I don't know why, it's just more accessible than Z. And
I think that's a good idea if you're using a WaveBird.
And that,
everything's more accessible than Z.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it just makes you wonder why we needed two buttons to jump in the first place, though.
I don't know.
Y is very intuitive for jump, because it's above A, so it's up, you know, that makes sense, but I never really got why it was on both, so I've changed.
Yeah, but if you're 3 years old and your thumb doesn't reach Y, it's nice to have X too.
I guess
you said this is a kiddie game? It's rated T for teen, remember?
Yeah, that's true. Well, Greg, when you first started playing, I think you used Yoshi for like the first three or four matches, and I was kind of worried.
Yeah.
But then you started to move it around, and I always do random, so I was glad to see the variety come.
Yeah, well, I just couldn't, like, the first few matches I was really getting used to the lag, I was just running past people and but after a while I got a bit happier, and then as well I thought, well, there's probably Yoshi's the kind of character, the way I play with him really doesn't lend itself to lag, so I moved around a bit with Peach and Olimar, even, who I find kind of fun to play, even though I'm no good with him at all.
I like Olimar. I'm pretty decent with him. You know, I thought your friend who was playing with you on your same system, both of you against me, I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, no, he was with DDD, who can be kind of deadly, although, again, I mean, I guess, I don't know whether the lag helps or hurts DDD. In terms of whether it kind of slows everything down, so maybe it's kind of harder to avoid getting whacked with that huge mallet, or whether it weighs even more painfully slow. But I mean, in terms of the new characters, I am really pleased with a lot of them. I think Zero Suit Samus is really cool, and I think it's kind of a shame. We talk about the 35 character roster. It's kind of, you've got the Pokemon trainers, like three characters. And
I think, Greg, my favorite match with you when we played online today was when you started as Zero Suit Samus and I started as Samus, and you ended as Samus and I ended as Zero Suit Samus.
Oh yeah, that was a cool match. Because I really like, weird, I really like both halves of Samus. I mean, I used to play a bit with Samus, like, in the older, more on 64 than I did on Melee, but I just really like both halves. I mean, they are very different, obviously, but they're both really cool, and it's such a cool character, like the duality and everything. And that was a great match. I really loved that.
Yeah. Well, I'm starting to get a better feel for how Brawl kind of sums up now that I've got all the characters and all the stages unlocked. And I'm spending a little time here and there kind of trying to unlock songs and things on my own. You know, like I'm playing through Target Smash with every character and stuff like that. And it feels like grinding.
Yeah.
It is grinding.
It's mildly satisfying because you unlock things.
That got malleted. I used the mallet on play Target Smash level 3 with all characters or whatever.
Yeah, I'm I'm gonna be very judicious about where I use those hammers. But
mm-hmm. Some of the harder challenges won't let you use them.
Really?
Yes.
It doesn't waste it, does it?
It just says I've seen reports that you just can't use them. It'll just say no. I haven't confirmed this, but apparently there's one challenge that's damned near impossible, and if you try to hammer it, it's just like, no, you can't do that.
Huh.
Nice.
Weird. Well, Anyway, yeah, I've been playing Brawlhalla quite a bit. I had a friend come over a few days ago, and we played for about 2 hours until our eyes burned and our fingers hurt. My girlfriend is learning to play it, which is very exciting. She likes it a lot. And I think I'm starting to get a feel for like what I think of the new characters. And I'm interested to hear what all you guys think, because, John, I know you've got the game now, too, and you've been playing it. Mm-hmm. So now we finally have a full crew of Brawl.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to think that my favorite new characters, even though he's not very exciting, I think Diddy Kong is pretty awesome. He's strong and he's really fast. And I'm glad that he's not like a clone of Donkey Kong. He's really quite different.
No, he's very different.
So
yeah.
I'm enjoying him. I actually like Rob quite a bit.
Well, he's so freaking powerful.
He is powerful, and I think he's kind of hilarious also.
Yeah.
The way that Mr. Gaiman watches, you know, like it eventually I'm sure I'll get used to seeing him and I won't think it's funny anymore, but right now I see him do some of the stuff that he does and I still think it's really funny.
Well, you know, Rob is like the ultimate juggling person. If you can get somebody bouncing over your head, you can essentially just keep bouncing them because they can't do anything about it until they're gone. And I found that can really piss off somebody you're playing in like one-on-one multiplayer. They tend to get really angry if you just keep doing that, at which point they'll just like either throw the controller down or use that power button that shouldn't be on the Wii Remote.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Wow.
That's the ultimate I'm pissed at you moment. Power.
I hadn't even considered that. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I mean, that's the only reason to come up with that it's on that remote.
Yeah, I've had times like that, you know, in the days of old when you were like beating somebody at Tecmo and completely being in their face that they would, you know, reach over and turn off the console. But I never ever considered. I don't know. Have I matured? Is that what we're seeing here? I've matured as a gamer.
No, not.
That I don't even consider
maybe
that anymore.
You just forgot that. Maybe you're so forgetful now that you forgot you can do it.
That's probably more like it.
But.
I think Pokemon Trainer is definitely very good.
Although
he's probably one of the harder characters to use just because he has so many moves.
Yeah.
And there's more to distract you from what you really need to do. Zero Suit, I'm not really into her yet. I feel like her moves are all pretty much the same thing.
Well, she's a heavy melee-influenced character, really. I don't mean the game. I mean just in how you fight. It's very much, you know, get close and fight really fast sort of deal. Sort of like Star Fox, not the handgun.
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't really gotten a feel for Zero Suit yet. Olimar, I think, is great. He's hard to use. I mean, he's very, very different from anything else. But I think if you're pretty good at aiming the Pikmin and you just keep launching them constantly, the other guy will rack up so much damage so fast. And his smashes are brutal.
It's
hard to be consistent with him because his smashes do different amounts of damage and they have different effects depending on which Pikmin he happens to use. But like his up smash, I played through like the boss battle mode and I killed almost some of those bosses I could kill in 3 or 4 hits with his up smash in the air.
Because
it hits so many times and it's
so
strong.
Yeah, it's got great range as well, obviously, compared to a lot of smash attacks because he sort of actually flings the Pikmin out from his body. So he's got, obviously he's a tiny little guy compared to everyone else, but he's got really great range if you've got Pikmin with you.
Yeah, I think it's funny that when Brawl first came out, I heard a lot of rumblings that Olimar was kind of funny but not good. And I'm starting to think he's actually one of the best new characters. One of the best characters, maybe. I'm not going to go through every single one of them. But, yeah, I'm slowly getting a feel for which ones I like the most.
You know,
which ones I don't care for.
The character that I've really started picking up, besides, you know, the most commonly used new ones, I've actually started playing with Wario some, simply because I like the character.
Yeah.
And after getting some wrangle on using him, like the motorcycle, if you're using the motorcycle, you have to be really, really alert because you'll just drive right off the edge, which I've done so many freaking times. But if you're really good with it, you can essentially launch the motorcycle at somebody and just blast them off the side of the stage.
Really?
Yeah. I'll have to try that.
I've kind of gotten the impression that Wario is not very good.
Well, he's really weird to play with, and I think he throws a lot of people off because when he walks, he does this really jerky, like, 2-frame animation.
Yeah, everything is jerky, but it's very staccato kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what they were going for with that, because It's not like he's Game & Watch or anything. I mean,
think he's just supposed to be like he's kind of hyper-caffeinated or something. He's just like really twitchy.
isn't the fart move kind of useless?
Yeah, it's pretty useless, actually. And it, which is,
it's a shame.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
it is. I've been KO'd by that, and that's just funny, even though you get KO'd. It's just all of a sudden, you're fighting two other people, and all of a sudden, Warrior just comes in, lands his giant ass on your face, and you're gone. He just blows in a brown gas.
I don't know how great it is
to play with, but it is funny.
I've only used it once to any effect. It usually just comes out as a little gas, and then you see his face sort of, like, blush afterwards. he's fun to play with in that regard, but I don't think I could take him against really strong opponents. But, you know, I still feel like characters that are returners, like Marth, for example, are way too overpowered and fast and things. But
yeah, Leon, what do you guys think of Ike? Because, I mean, I'll admit, like, pretty much, like, I never really played Melee too much. I mean, I had, like, kind of my six-month sort of, you know, rendezvous with it, and then I kind of put it to the side. But the thing is...
you only played a game for 6 months.
Yeah.
I know, but with anything else, that would seem like a long time, but people play Melee for years.
Well, he was busy with all the great games that came out on the GameCube.
Yeah. Exactly. But
I think we have a whole feature, Mr. Features Editor, about all the great games on GameCube.
Yeah, it's already out, remember?
Yeah. I was just kind of looking. I was trying out a couple of characters. I tried out Kid Icarus, or Pit, and
oh boy,
I don't know. He was okay. I wasn't really too impressed. The thing is with Ike, I think he's kind of a good noob sort of character, because as long as you keep him in the middle of the stage and just kind of keep doing a lot of smash attacks, he does have some pretty effective smash attacks. So he's kind of safe in that way for a noob like myself.
Yeah, he's a bruiser. He has like no recovery.
Yeah,
his up B is shitty. And actually, I think that's why I like Rob, because he's so strong, and yet he has this awesome recovery move that you can, you know, you can get back to the stage pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that Ike can recover better than like somebody like Link. Link, I always seem to have a really hard time recovering that guy.
Yeah.
Even though he has like the...
Yeah,
the
I'm not
twirl.
A Link player.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
I don't get Link.
The funny thing
Link
about...
Link has too many projectiles and not enough good smash attacks, like things that will really knock people off the stage.
Yeah.
Well, you know... But, who was it? Oh, Snake. Snake's another character I think people are going to get used to and are going to be able to do a lot of damage with. Because not only are most of his attacks ranged, you can remote control the freaking things. Like, I was able to get one match where I was firing off the remote control rockets, and I knocked the guy over with it, and the next rocket was getting to him as soon as he was getting back up and knocking him down.
That's awesome.
I kept this chain going until he hit about 200% and went flying off the screen.
The rockets are hard to use, though. I mean, they're very hard to steer.
Once you get the hang of it, it gets pretty easy. It's just, you're vulnerable, so if you miss, you are so fucking screwed.
Yeah,
because it has to blow up, and there's nothing you can do to make it blow up except ram it to the stage.
Well, you know, with the grenades, you can hold it for, like, up to 3.5 seconds before you throw it to change the timing on when it explodes.
Yeah, the timer starts
That's
to
really
go off.
Useful.
But, like, there's the landmines and things. I've never even got one of those to go off.
You know, it seems like I've had other people, like my friend Corey who came over and played against me, he was using Snake, and it seemed like when he set those mines, they were proximity, and all I had to do was walk over them, and they would blow up. But when I use them, I have to manually blow them up.
I'm wondering if there's a difference,
like if you smash it or something, like does it
doesn't
set
he
a
have two? Like,
bomb?
Isn't there like a special one and then a smash? One of them is a normal move or something. I forget. Like, I think he has
down.
Two.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's a difference. You know, like with Samus, where it, depending on how you use the joystick when you shoot a missile.
Yeah.
It's either a normal missile or a super missile.
Right.
I'm wondering if there's something like that with Snake, because it seems like there may be a little more going on there.
Yeah. And Snake has that awesome recovery, too, where he just sort of flies off the screen.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
But Snake overall, I have a lot of trouble with him. Like, I find that using his normal attacks and jumping around with him is so hard, because he jumps, like, 2 inches off the ground.
Yeah.
And, you almost have to double jump to get anywhere.
Yeah,
with him.
And I think that's why they gave him that flight move, because he can't jump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, Sonic is fast, and I kind of like using Sonic, and I understand the trouble with him careening off the stage, because that's
all
kind of
the
in
time.
His character. Yeah, I mean, you really have to have a good grip on him, and you have to be careful. because like the moves like that Yoshi has where he rolls up in the egg and he rolls all over the place, that's what Sonic is like all the time.
Yeah, pretty much,
pretty
actually.
Good way of putting it.
Again, my problem with Sonic is his jump is so bad. It's really hard to like maneuver to me. I like the more aerial characters, the ones who are a little more acrobatic.
I'm just glad that whenever Sonic's turns into his super form, they don't start playing god awful 3D Sonic music. I was actually really afraid that was going to happen. I was really afraid that when you started playing it, it was going to start playing that god awful end theme from Sonic Adventure 2.
I'm surprised they didn't do that, but there are some vocal songs.
Yeah, I know. I've actually been making an effort to not unlock them.
You could just switch them off.
Well, I haven't even seen the Super Sonic Final Smash, so I'm looking forward
I
to
I saw
that.
It I once, think... and I failed completely at using it. I just went right off. I careened off the edge when I had it on. I was like, oh, man, son of a...
A lot of the Final Smashes are really difficult to use well.
Yeah.
And some of them are just bad, like
Star Fox,
Donkey Kong, man.
Yeah, Donkey Kong.
Landmaster Tank.
Landmaster.
The Landmaster's really hard to use. And
it's so lame.
The bongos that Donkey Kong pulls out are very...
Worthless.
If you don't use it in exactly the right place, the other person's going to go off to the side and just stand there and taunt you.
Yeah. Jigglypuff's
and I mean,
Final
the other
Smash.
Thing with that
Landmaster
is that...
Tank.
Jigglypuff's is awesome.
I've never seen it. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, dude, he grows humongous. It's not even an attack. It doesn't hurt anyone. It just shoves people right off the stage.
I saw the
computer use it on Pokemon Stadium 2, and the computer stood right in the middle of the stage, and he used the Final Smash, and literally the other guys had nowhere left to stand.
That's
like
just
they just
up.
Got crowded right off the stage, and they were trying to recover, but there's nothing to hold on to because Jigglypuff is round.
Quite
so
apropos.
They just slid right off the stage. It's hilarious.
That's weird.
Yeah. I think on any medium or small stage, Jigglypuff's Final Smash is great.
Well, you know, there's a lot of really stupid aura Final Smashes where they just start glowing, and I'm like, well, great, now you're glowing. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Like Rob?
Rob. Well, no, Rob shoots out laser beams of death out of his eyes.
Face,
while he's
constantly...
If you,
what are you talking about, then?
What is it? The Pokemon, the Mewtwo replacement, Lucario.
Lucario? He shoots that huge laser.
Yeah, but then he just
it's
sort of
pretty
glows.
Easy to dodge.
And then he just sort of glows and walks around. I'm like, well, great. Now I can just beat you up.
No. The aura thing, that's not has nothing to do with Final Smash. No, that's a special ability that it's like an innate ability he has, and the more damage he takes, the more powerful he gets.
Oh, okay.
And the longer his range becomes also. So like Lucario's really good for all star mode and things like that because the longer you play, the better he gets.
Nice.
No, that's what I hadn't thought of. That's a good point.
He's really good against bosses and things. Well, anyway, I don't know. I haven't really played much other than Brawl. I played a little Guitar Hero, but nothing to speak of, really. So, John, why don't you give us a little more insight on Brawl and anything else?
Well, I mean, yeah, Brawl is pretty much all I played. You know, I'm still playing a little bit of Spiderwick Chronicles, but in terms of Brawl, I found an interesting side quest called actually getting people to appear on your buddy list. So, but I haven't beat that yet. I'm still waiting. I still have about, you know, 9 levels to go. So,
use the mallet.
Yeah.
On yourself.
John and I are still struggling on easy in that game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I left my Wii on for an entire 24-hour period just to see what would happen and some of the things that we figured out we couldn't even really find any patterns in terms of how people get added to your list. So,
no, and in fact, sometimes the person would be on, and you'd both be on each other's buddy list, and you could see the signal strength connecting them. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw Johnny was green at one point. I'm like, oh, they're just going to add Johnny. But no, Johnny was still awaiting registration, despite the fact it felt the need to taunt me with his signal strength.
Yep, and in fact, Johnny is
I think this is a bug the same way that the Smash service not being available to people was a bug, and they're just going to have to fix it.
Yeah.
And right now, they either don't realize it's a problem, or they're working on it in silence, and they're not going to comment on it until it's pretty much fixed.
Yeah.
Well, you know...
But I think it's clearly a bug. This is not the way it's supposed to work.
No.
This is not the way anything...
We've even got situations where Wendy and I exchanged friend codes 2 weeks ago now. On his list, I show up as I'm his friend, and I'm offline, or whatever. on my list, it still says awaiting registration.
Yep, same thing with me and
now,
you,
John. Now, friend codes are a mutual registration system, so it's supposed to register us at the same time if we've exchanged codes.
Huzzah.
So how can he have one status for me and I have a different one for him?
Yeah, it's the same thing with me and you, Johnny. I mean, you have me on your friends list, right? Like, I'm added.
That's right, yeah. But I see your name on there, and it says offline.
Yeah, but you're not added on mine. You're still awaiting registration, so...
That's straight up buggy.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's just not working right.
Well, you know, John went and tried to use the special codes of the internet to get help. And that wasn't successful either, was it?
Yeah, I mean, I posted on Nintendo's support site, and they haven't... I don't think they've responded. I haven't checked today at all, but as of, you know, a couple days ago, they hadn't posted anything to mine.
Maybe you need to call the Nintendo of America 900 line.
Yeah. That's the thing.
That line still works, by the way.
I mean, I don't know really how much Nintendo's... the thing is, I don't think Nintendo could really tell me anything, frankly. You know? I mean, I'm sure they're working on it. I mean, what are they going to say?
I hope they're working on it. Yeah. Well, it might just be helpful for them to acknowledge, yes, there is a problem. Yes, we know it's existing. And yes, we're trying to fix it.
Yeah.
I mean,
actually, what they're going to do is create a special website, and when you go there and register your copy of the game with a serial number, it says, "We are aware that some users of our popular game, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, have been unable to fully enjoy the online experience."
What online experience?
Thank you for supporting Nintendo.
The online experience is tantamount to watching Greg map the word Yoshi to all four of his taunts and taunt me from across
the street. No, one of them
is
Lords of Thunder, which I really cracked.
Yeah.
Yes!
I violated my protest for that. I hope you're pleased.
I'm very pleased,
that's right,
Greg.
You haven't done your protest this week, Greg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's week three, by the way. I'm definitely still in complete solidarity.
I'm in complete
with yourself.
Solidarity with my European brother.
I'm in
brother,
no way
start playing
enjoying
now.
The game for a week and play it. Yeah.
Having fun.
I'm sorry. I sold out Europe. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
You're doing your own people,
oh,
Greg.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's bad, but you know, come on, they pushed me to it. They made me do this. They could have at least given me a release date. Give me light at the end of the tunnel.
No, it's just an endless tunnel to nowhere.
All right. Well, we've been discussing Brawl for at least half an hour
maybe.
Here. So I think we need to break, and we'll come back and talk about other games in our news segment. Be right back. Okay, we're back with an infrequent news segment on the show. I normally don't like to do news because it's not really news by the time you guys hear it on the show. But I thought this was stuff that we could probably discuss more than 30 seconds each. So the first announcement, this happened the very day of recording, actually today. Rock Band is announced for Wii, finally. We kind of knew it was all coming. It was basically confirmed, but they hadn't given any official details until now. But Rock Band for Wii is coming out June 22nd in America. The bundle, special edition bundle, will be $170. It comes with a game, a USB microphone, the drum kit, and a wireless guitar. And separate instruments will also be available on that date. Now, this is the same price for the 360 and PS3 games, but the game itself apparently will not be like those. It's going to be closer to the PS2 version that came out in December.
Yes, sigh.
Hmm?
I just sighed.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's. I think that is sigh-worthy. because basically they're charging us as much for the so-called next-gen versions, and we're actually getting the last-gen version, the PS2 version. Mm-hmm. Now, this was not in the press release. Press releases typically don't mention things that aren't in the game. But some of the news media contacted Harmonix today about this, and Harmonix confirmed that there's probably, at least so far, there's going to be no online play in the game, which, by the way, was in Guitar Hero 3 for Wii. And there's going to be no downloadable content, which, by the way, is kind of the point of the game. And last week, they announced they'd sold 6 million downloadable songs on PS3 and 360.
This is depressing.
Gimped.
Can we move on to something else? I'm sad now.
And by the way, Nintendo confirmed at GDC that they're going to start allowing downloadable content.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but they've offered
central,
no way to do it.
This is the central thing that's most disappointing about all this. That, you know, it just seems to me like, on the one hand, it's like, if you're not going to utilize the pay and play or whatever, it's like, why didn't this come out 6 months ago? You know, if you had a PS2 version, which is eminently portable to the Wii, why didn't it happen earlier? But then, you know, perhaps, you know, foolishly, but I guess some people might have taken its course for optimism that the Wii game hadn't come out yet, and perhaps they were waiting for the online infrastructure to come out, to sort of catch up, to what, as you said, because it's such a fundamental part of the Rock Band, sort of, you know, the idea that you're going to have downloadable content. And now here it is, and it's coming out 6 months later, and it doesn't have anything like that. I mean, it's just baffling.
Well, maybe
say online play is also
that's even more.
You're supposed to be able to assemble a band with other people that you know who aren't right there.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's how they sold the game originally. And the only thing I can come up with is maybe they were waiting to see what Nintendo had in mind at GDC, and they were just said, "All right, this is it. We're done." And they just went ahead and said, "We're not putting it in there."
Why would they need to wait until GDC to find out what Nintendo's going to do?
Well,
I
maybe
mean, isn't that the kind of thing that Nintendo should be sharing with their licensees
you
before
would
public
think
announcements?
That, but remember, we're dealing with Nintendo here, and
well,
I
know. But that's
the,
I think that's the point, though,
sense.
Isn't it? I mean, I think if this situation is indicative of just how much of an absolute clusterfuck the whole online infrastructure that is, that there isn't dialogue. You know, it seems like, well, maybe the reason why this is coming now is because they did dither in the hope of something, and then, you know, nothing was forthcoming from Nintendo, and they just went ahead with essentially a PS2 port that they could have put out months ago. And considering Guitar Hero 3 on the Wii has outperformed every other individual SKU, as far as I know, you know, it's probably, you know, they've probably lost quite a lot of revenue on that.
Yeah, that certainly forced their hand, I think. I would say that maybe not that it was that they were waiting for Nintendo to tell them. Maybe Nintendo just hadn't said anything to their licensees about DLC, and when it finally came out, or maybe they had said, it's coming, we have an announcement, and when they finally got it, they're like, there's no method to store all this content.
Yeah, I mean, that again...
Which we've harped on before.
You do wonder what kind of back and forth there is going on between Nintendo.
See, I don't buy that at all, because if Smash Brothers can load custom levels off your SD card right before you play the match, then why can't Rock Band load songs right off your SD card right before you play the song?
Because Smash Brothers did things right with the SD card that no other game's done so far, except for Excitetruck. And I don't want to have to put things in the category of being like Excitetruck. But if that needs to be the case, then so be it.
Well, Endless Ocean also has custom soundtracks,
yeah.
But
does
that's
it?
Totally beside the point. I'm just saying that, and even if you consider, say, the daily download levels that Nintendo is providing in Brawl, which is a cool feature, and there have been some good levels that come through that. Those are stored on your Wii. I don't think you can move those to your SD card. But, you know, what I'm saying is that the elements needed to do DLC in Rock Band are already in Smash Brothers. They just need to be combined.
Yeah, but we don't know how big each song is when you download it from their service either.
Dude,
it's got to come
with
the instructions for the game too. And if like some of these, don't they come with custom like backgrounds and things in other versions of the game?
I don't know about that.
I don't know. I mean, I have Rock Band, and I couldn't. There's nothing blatantly obvious. It's not like, you know. I mean, the songs pretty much just show up in your song list, and you play them just like any other song. So. I mean, it's almost, I mean, I almost equate these things to, like, if anybody's ever messed with, like, you know, karaoke CDs, they have basically the vocal track and then the kind of graphics track. Those things are probably the same thing, and I can't see them being that huge.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
It's mostly
but
binary,
I have to wonder,
and there's,
though,
there's the audio that's probably basically MP3 form.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I honestly think that the lack of online play and the lack of downloadable content is probably at some root form traceable back to Nintendo's online strategy.
Well, I mean,
it could also be pure laziness because, again,
yeah,
online play it has been done in Guitar Hero 3, which is pretty much the same game as Rock Band. I mean, there's not a huge difference here, and this is coming out eight months after Guitar Hero 3, yeah, and it can't even match that feature.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this wouldn't have raised any eyebrows with me if it were being rushed out for the holidays. You know, that
right.
Then it would have been, well, you know, they're just kind of shunting the PS2 version, or, you know, the Wii and the PS2 version, the kind of, you know, the sort of reduced form versions for both the, you know, both those formats, and they're rushing it out, and that's that, and maybe they'll get more ambitious in the future. But, you know, you wait and then you deliver this. It's just very odd, and I don't know, it smacks of some sort of dithering. Now, whether that was caused by anything on Nintendo's part or not, I mean, it's hard to say.
But I just had a change of heart when I thought about this. Rock Band is being published by EA, correct?
No, it's published by MTV Games. EA is the distributor. They have very little to do with it.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. My opinion's been changed now. I was going to say that, you know, EA Sports Branch developed that online system for Madden that completely shunts everything Nintendo wants to do with their online.
Yeah, that's EA Nation.
Yeah.
EA Sports Nation or something.
I was thinking that
it's
maybe...
It's definitely not... doesn't have anything to do with Rock Band.
Yeah. Oh, but, well, there goes that.
Yeah, so we're getting what sounds like pretty much the PS2 version of Rock Band.
For $10
we're getting
more.
It 6 months later, and it's going to cost $10 more.
No, but wait, there's five extra songs or something. Don't
oh, yay.
Come
five
on, fair
exclusive songs.
Fair
watch
and balanced.
Going to be included here. There's no telling what they
watch
are.
Watch every last song suck, too.
Yeah, I'm not expecting anything really exciting out of this. I mean, here's what I would be kind of okay with this if it included all of the downloadable content songs, or it... Yeah, that's really the only way they could do this and me be satisfied. If there's no downloadable content system in the game, they would have to include a large portion or all of the songs that have already been made available for extra purchase.
But how many songs
for the
have
versions.
Been made available for the other version? Other version.
Like 60 or more.
Yeah, well, they couldn't give us that for $10.
A ton.
I mean, that would be just like... That would be really ripping off the other consoles at that point.
Well, you know... I don't know. I just... I don't see how this is really a good deal in anyone's eyes. Unless the only system you own is Wii.
Yeah.
And then you should probably think about getting this. I mean, you know, I'm sort of tempted by it, except then I remember that a game called GTA 4 is coming out in April, and I'm probably going to get a 360 when they drop the price on it for that game, and then I can just get Rock Band for 360.
But
if you only have a Wii, you're probably still going to want to look into this, even though it's a shitty deal for us. It's still a game that you can't play otherwise.
Let's point something else out that's not related to the fact that we're being hosed on online and DLC. If you read the press release and you do some follow-up stuff, the things seem to be USB based, all the instruments.
Yeah.
Well, the guitar is wireless. It's probably Bluetooth, just like the Wii Remote.
Oh, is it? Because I was reading it was USB.
That's cool. It's a wireless guitar.
Oh, okay. Well, then hopefully it's just the Wii Remote slapped in there, but.
No,
there's no Wii Remote.
There's no integration with the Wii Remote.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So it's not going to work with your Guitar Hero controller then?
No.
Probably not.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. Harmonix, their stance has been that they want it to work. And Activision's stance has been that they don't want them to be compatible with each other.
Of course not.
So it kind of depends on who wins out there. But in any case, yeah, I don't think there's going to be any kind of like USB wireless receiver that you plug into the back of the Wii for the guitar, because it could just use the Wii's built-in wireless system. There's no point for that. The drums will be plug-in, but they're plug-in on all the other platforms too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the microphone is as well.
The microphone is plug-in. Well, we'll see.
And you should be able to use your Boogie microphone. If
oh,
you bought Boogie.
Good. If you bought Boogie,
you bought Karaoke Revolution.
If you bought
American
either of
Idol
those games, you should be strangled with your remote cable. You are part of the problem.
Anyway, hopefully we're going to get more details about this soon. We're going to get some answers from Harmonix as to like why Wii owners are being shafted.
Well,
here.
I mean, I think someone's already elicited a statement from. From Harmonix on the on the lack of downloadable content.
I think it was this cop out where they basically said we want to make the core game as good as possible.
Yeah, exactly, which is really weak. And,
okay.
And they say because the Wii's online capabilities and potential have yet to be fully realized, we wanted to wait before we explored online functionality.
Why don't you guys realize it?
You know, yeah, well, this is the thing, but it's like, so you want, so, but what does that not imply that they wanted to wait, so they have been waiting, and then they thought, fuck it, no, we'll just fart out the PS2
yeah,
version. I mean,
is that
what's happened here?
I honestly think they have been waiting, and they saw what Guitar Hero did on the Wii and said, we just can't wait any longer. We have to go now.
Thing is, I mean, you really have to wonder at which point some of the blame falls on Nintendo, because it just seems that actually getting a game to have a really good online experience on Wii seems to be this Herculean task that maybe if somebody goes well above and beyond, maybe they'll do it, like Guitar Hero 3.
Dude, freaking Elobits has online stuff.
Yeah, but not really good online stuff, though. He's talking about good online.
You know, like, I mean, something that is actually robust and not just a bunch of, like, little, you know, Wii Connect 24 gimmicks thrown in there. I mean, real good online. It just seems like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. It just seems maybe Nintendo isn't supporting online.
Yeah, I mean, Mario Kart's going to be interesting, because by all accounts, that looks like it's going to be the most robust attempt at an online sort of infrastructure for a game.
And it's a first-party game.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see how much they actually deliver on that in terms of what is actually
possible.
If
Brawl is any indication, I'm really not looking forward to playing.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like it's going to be a bit more sort of ambitious in that sense. In terms of you've got this sort of separate channel, and there seems to be better things for, like... Because, I mean, one of the annoying things...
16-player online? Yeah. That's not going to work. They can't even get 4 players running.
That's
going to
crash
Brothers.
So freaking terribly. It's going to make everyone cry.
Yeah,
it's going to bleed the internet of tears.
It's really interesting, though, because apparently, like, they're kind of almost ignoring the local multiplayer in some ways. Like, for instance, like the battle mode, you have to play 12-player teams, even if it's filled out with just a bunch of AI. You can't just do the 4 of you. Which is kind of like, that's what local multiplayer is about. So why?
I hope they can fix that for the US version. Since it's coming out
fix
later.
That for the US version.
Yeah, good luck.
How often does that happen?
It's not unheard of, but it's unlikely. Well, anyway, moving on to our next big news story. Although we're still on the topic of rhythm games, Guitar Hero on Tour was finally announced for
Hand
DS.
Hand Cramp Edition.
And what?
Hand Cramp Edition.
Hand Cramp Edition, exactly. Yeah, this was basically announced last year, but they never gave any details on it. And I think originally it was supposed to come out about the same time as Guitar Hero 3. And then we didn't hear anything, and a lot of people thought maybe it was canceled. But now they've fully unveiled it. Instead of attaching a little tiny guitar or anything crazy like that, it has this, well, it's still pretty crazy. It's called the Guitar Grip. It's this accessory that kind of wraps around the back of the DS, the bottom, and plugs into the GBA slot.
And looks stupid as hell.
And you hold the system vertically, like in Brain Age, and you have, say your left hand is underneath the DS. There's, like, a strap back there that you put your hand through, which I guess is to keep it from flying off your hand when you get really crazy with it. And it has 4 fret buttons that are basically sitting at the bottom of the DS, like right where a GBA cartridge would be sticking out, except the way you hold it, it's really kind of on the right side of the DS. And then you just use the stylus on the touchscreen to strum. So you hold down the different, there's only 4 fret buttons instead of 5, but you hold those down and you strum across the screen with your pick. The game's going to come with a little pick, but it's just a stylus. Do you guys think this is going to be fun?
No!
I'm very curious. In fact, I signed up for the review.
This is going to be the Geometry Wars DS.
I think it could be fun. The buttons, I think, are great. I'm impressed that they actually figured out a way to do the buttons. To me, the problem is going to be the strumming.
I feel like the problem is going to be if you have one of the old DS Fats, this is going to put a lot of weight on your wrist.
I'm wondering if they're going to have to make a different version of the accessory for the original.
Yeah, because
DS.
In the old DS, the GBA cartridges don't stick out of the slot. It's
right, and plus the contours of the back of the system are different.
Yeah, they're big and they're bulky and stuff.
So it seems to me like they might have to do like 2 different versions.
It did that with the Opera browser, and we saw how much of a success that was.
Yeah, well, and, there's plenty of reasons for that.
Every reason imaginable.
They did it for the Game Boy
failed.
Player. There was a version of Game Boy Player for the Q, Panasonic Q, that only came out in Japan.
Yeah, because
it's like one of the most rare GameCube accessories.
Yeah, because the Panasonic Q had that funky bottom and shape going on.
Yeah, the little toaster legs and everything.
Yeah, I always wanted one of those.
I have one.
Oh, it's, dude, it's... if you've never seen a Q in person, it is a sharp-looking machine. Yeah,
I will
really
buy
impressive
one of those.
Looking.
No, it's one of my favorite possessions, that is, the Q.
Oh, I'm really jealous of anybody who has one. Like, one thing that, if you've never seen one in person, one thing that you probably won't realize about it is it's not just silver. It is, the front of it is literally a mirror. Yeah. I mean, you can do your makeup in it if you wear makeup. I mean, it is so clear.
Right,
and just walking past it, seeing a reflection in it is so striking. It doesn't look like anything else.
And you have
in your house.
When the GameCube part's active, the controller ports light up with this lovely sort of blue glow and everything. It's kind of like Wii. Yeah, pre-Wii, sort of established that kind of blue thing going on. But I love the Cube. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a beautiful machine. I saw one at a Smash Brothers tournament once back at my old college, and I couldn't believe how good it looked.
I need to get one of those now to add to my Virtual Boy Power Glove.
Yeah.
Dude, I have one of the old Zelda, what was it, Game & Watches.
It's more useful than a freaking 64 DD.
That thing got me through university between playing DVDs and games.
The 64 DD serves one purpose, for Gaijin to buy it when they're in Japan and take it out of the country.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Panasonic had done like a Q version of the Wii?
Yeah, well, I guess the main draw would have been the visuals. The
main draw would have been
I could have played DVDs.
But these days, that's not a draw. I mean, back then, like, you know, when I was getting
it, was huge.
It was just a big plus for me, because I could, like, you know, when I had a GameCube at home, but then when I was at university, I didn't have to take like two things back and forth, so I had a DVD and a GameCube in one. It was great for toting back and forth and all the rest of it. It was really useful. I mean, these days you could get DVD players and everything off for dirt cheap or whatever. I mean, what is the crap, you know?
I mean, after all, I mean, everybody has a PS2 now, right? So,
well, but, you know, even in 2000...
There's 120 million PS2s.
Yeah, how many of those are rebuys?
It's crazy. But, you know, even when GameCube came out in 2001, DVD players were still not commonplace.
Yeah, yeah.
And it still kind of amazes me that they didn't try harder to release the Q in America, because I think it would have done well. At least in the first period, you know, when GameCube itself did very well.
Yeah.
For the first 6 months.
And of course, I mean,
whatever.
It was a very different... You could almost use it as a sort of differentiable kind of marketing, in the sense that it had such a different aesthetic from the... Even though it was still kind of
cute. You could have marketed it to an older crowd.
Yeah, because, you know, rather than the plastic handle...
If it might have made a big difference in the demographics of
GameCube. Because rather than the plastic handle and all the rest of it, you know, it is a sleek kind of, yeah, as you said, striking thing. You know, I mean,
it looks like a stereo, like the controls on
well,
it.
I had people that would come around to clean your room at uni, just look at it and go, wow, you know, and they don't play games, they don't, you know, they probably
had people clean your room at
the
university?
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell?
Holy crap. Was this in the dorm?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. But I'm raising my kids in England.
Well, I don't know. I didn't really agree with
I lived in a prison cell for 2 years in the dormitory.
Dude, our dorms didn't even have windows.
Nice.
I had to kill a man to get my degree.
I'm telling you.
Well, you know, one thing about the Cube, before we realize we're terribly off topic, is I never really thought it looked so much sleek as I thought it looked like something off the set of the original Battlestar Galactica.
Dude, if you saw one in person, you'd be so impressed with it. It is a beautiful machine. I mean, it's really cool. But yeah, we were talking about Guitar Hero Encore.
Which tells you how totally interested we are in a DS Guitar Hero.
Well, I mean, the biggest,
I don't know. I'm with John. I really am interested in it.
But that's the thing, it
could be a fabulous train wreck.
But is this like, is the main thing about this, like, the novelty factor, in terms of, you know, you're not going to be able to deliver the greatest fidelity audio on the DS. You're not going to be able to deliver the greatest number of songs on the DS. It's just, not going to be particularly useful in its portability. So one has to question, other than novelty, what is the sort of functional utility of having it on DS?
Well, you know,
I think it is. I think the portable nature of it is useful for, like, kids who can play it in the back of a car on a summer trip.
Only if they have headphones.
Things like that.
If I had a kid in the back of a car.
As far as, like, playing it on the bus, like, for adults,
you're going to look like an idiot.
I cannot see adults playing this on the bus. You're going to look like a total
idiot.
When I first saw this, I was reminded of those hand exercisers they give people who have arthritis.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Like the grip, the super grip things. Yeah. The thing is, what I do really admire about it, though, is that they actually did have the guts to try something completely off the wall with it.
Yeah.
They didn't just cop out and make it like, you know, like that other, you know, like all those other
jam
kind
sessions.
Of let's strum the touchscreen kind of games. They actually did try to do something, you know, novel.
Jam sessions.
It.
I thought it would
best
be
sound
like
DS
Band
game
Brothers.
Of the year.
Yeah.
Sorry, James, I interrupted.
What oh, was I said it, you mean like jam sessions, which won our best sound of the year, despite the fact
oh,
no
yes,
one
yes,
played.
Of course.
Right. I yeah. Well, I played it, and Aaron played it, so that's not true.
Oh, okay.
But, I think jam sessions, yeah, I actually did expect it to be a lot like jam sessions, where you would use the D-pad and the shoulder button, or, you know, if you're right-handed or left-handed, you could use the face buttons and the shoulder button. But either way, you'd basically have five buttons that would correspond to the five frets, and then you'd, like, strum on the touchscreen. And instead, they mm-hmm. gave you real guitar fret buttons. Well, real yeah, Guitar Hero yeah, fret yeah. buttons, and that is a huge that's a huge improvement.
Well,
I think as long as the buttons are feel good,
that had to be the way to go, really. Because, like I said, I mean, A, this has to work on a novelty value kind of within Guitar Hero, if you know what I mean. Like for people who
right.
know Guitar Hero, you know, to get them to sort of pique their curiosity in a DS version, you probably have to make it a novelty, but also. A lot of the appeal of Guitar Hero is that kind of that tactile nature, and if it was just D-pads and thing, you know, if you didn't have those buttons, I just don't think it would have this, you know, it wouldn't be as
right.
appealing. I mean, it would still trade off the name, sure, but other than that,
it's a clever solution. I'm a little impressed at how bizarre it looks. I don't think anybody really expected them to go this route with it.
No.
I know a lot of people expected them to have like. Kind of a miniature sized guitar that would like plug into the GBA slot or something like that.
But
to have just the frets plug into the GBA slot and have that tied into like a very specific way of holding the system, I'm pretty surprised by it.
Well, you know, what Greg was saying, I never thought it was going to be a miniature guitar. I thought they had to do something different because essentially this is going to be a novelty in a franchise that is built off novelty.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so it had to be something that was really out there. And
yeah.
I think the arthritis grip handheld system is probably going to fill that requirement.
Well, to wrap up a couple of details about it before we move on to our last story, the only songs, well, they haven't announced any songs, but they say that it will have the this will have the most diverse set list of master tracks ever offered in a Guitar Hero game. Mm. So it will have master tracks. It's not going to be like MIDI shit. And the artists that they've confirmed so far are Nirvana, OK Go, and No Doubt. And they have not said how many songs we're looking at, but it's going to be less than in the console versions, that's for sure. There's no online play, which is weird to me because this is made by Vicarious Visions. And they have some of the best online modes on DS, and they did the Wii version of Guitar Hero 3, which also has online.
Yeah.
So I'm a little surprised there's no online here.
Maybe they just felt like they want to get this out and see if it works before they devote online resources to it.
Yeah. I would not be surprised to see online leaderboards, because that's really...
Well...
They've really got that down in the Tony Hawk games for DS. And that's pretty
now,
simple
maybe,
to do.
Think of it this way. Maybe this is the way they're competing with Rock Band for Wii.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It would have been really funny if the same week Activision announced a DS game of Guitar Hero that did include online.
That
would have been the battle of the offline
DS.
Yeah, well, here's your question. We don't know how much this costs, do we?
No, I'm thinking in the range of like $50.
Yeah, I'm thinking that
that's
little piece of plastic is going to knock this price up $20.
It will, yeah, for sure. And a lot of third-party DS games are selling for $40 anyway, so...
Which is stupid.
I'm thinking, yeah, that is a lot. That's really more than I'll pay. Like, even Nintendo's used to be $30, and now it seems like they've gone up to $35, at least at GameStop, where I usually buy stuff with credit.
Yeah, their MSRP's gone up.
Like, Professor Layton was $35. I was like, $35?
Yeah, that's a rip-off.
DS game. Anyway, Guitar Hero on Tour, last thing I'll say, it does have local wireless. You can do co-op, and you can also do the battle mode from Guitar Hero 3, as great as an idea as that was. And there are going to be some like specific DS attacks that you can do in there, like you can light the other person's guitar frets on fire, and they have to blow it out with the microphone.
Oh, God.
As everyone knows, microphones are for blowing.
Yeah, apparently they are.
And,
yes.
How many games have had you blow out fire with that microphone now?
I'd like to do a feature on blowing into the microphone.
I'll tell you what, you get to work on that. We'll talk.
Yeah. Never mind. But there's also like an attack where you can send screaming fans over to the other person's DS and they have to sign autographs on t-shirts or something.
That's
pretty clever.
It's just weird.
It could be very annoying, but then most of the attacks in battle mode are annoying. That's kind of the point. So anyway, I mean, it sounds like it could be a fun thing in certain groups, but we'll have to see. This is really going to hinge on like hands-on impressions. I'm going to have to play it before I'll believe it.
So do we have any idea when someone's going to get hands-on impressions?
Before it comes out.
Oh,
yes.
Great.
I'm almost positive that we will get a chance to play an early version of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Sweet. Activision's pretty good about that kind of thing for their big games. So anyway, moving on to the last story of the day, we have a new game announcement for Wii. This is called Skycrawlers.
Ah.
I think, James, you were the person most excited about this.
Oh, yes.
Being the Ace Combat freak that you are.
Yes.
So this is only announced for Japan so far, but it's sort of an arcade-y, simplified air combat game. It has motion controls, and it takes place in World War II. It's developed by the Ace Combat team from Namco, who by the way, also made Star Fox Assault.
It's developed by one of the Ace Combat teams. There are two of them.
There are two different ones?
Project Aces is developing Skycrawlers, and they're responsible for Ace Combat 0, 5, and 6.
Okay.
So I don't think that they're all from the Star Fox Assault monstrosity.
So which team made Star Fox Assault?
I
then?
Don't.
The other one?
I think that's just what this sort of group that Namco used to just put on them, and I think Project Aces was just this group they've assembled since then of people who are not complete retards.
Yeah.
Hopefully everyone.
I mean, hopefully it'll be much better.
Yeah.
But I feel like we have to make that disclaimer.
Hopefully
about
everyone on Assault got fired.
How pertinent it is debatable from the point of view that, well, presumably this will not most a game called Skycrawlers will mostly not be on foot.
You know, yes.
I mean, straight away.
That's a good point.
You know, that's the biggest problem I have with you get the Ace Combat team and you get them to do on foot stuff. I mean, it's just. It must be just a fucking joke. I mean, really must be.
Hey, you know, it worked for Factor 5.
No, it did not work for Factor 5. It failed miserably for Factor 5.
Good
Being
point.
Sarcastic,
exactly.
James.
Another case.
Did you forget what it was like to be on foot in Rogue Squad 3?
No, I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. Good. It was like slit your wrists with the GameCube disc. Yeah, it was so terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there you go. I think we can all rest assured that will not be the case in this game. So that's
there's
some cause for optimism.
That's
yeah.
a good point, Greg.
There's two things worth noting in this game. One, it's an alternate history World War II game, which means the planes are all...
How original.
That's an innovative concept.
Well,
like
the planes are all really funky.
Never been done before.
But it's based on a novel in Japan that's being turned into a movie by Production IG, who is responsible for some of the better known anime of recent memory.
Like Ghost
but
in the Shell.
But is it the better anime?
It's better, yeah. But just having just having seen the trailers from the movie, it's really, really pretty. And it looks like that the games are going to be not based on the movies, but be an alternate story. But, you know, if they put the same sort of effort behind this movie, which it seems to be is a fairly important license in Japan right now, it could turn out to be a really good game, or we could run into what's called licensed game fear.
Right.
And I'm not sure how licensed games tend to do in Japan, but licensed games here tend to suck.
Yeah,
suck
well,
bad.
To be fair, I think with licensed games in general, though, it's kind of law of averages things. There's just so many of them, most of them have to be shit, just statistically.
Yeah.
You know, if you have that much of a thing, you know, they are going to be a lot of them are going to be bad. Yeah, I mean,
but it's just such a disproportionate number are bad. I mean, John might have the last good licensed game in the last 6 months in his Spiderwick Chronicles. But this game, I mean, it's what Project Aces does, and just from looking at the screenshots, they're really pretty.
Yeah, when I first saw those screens, I was fairly sure that they were bullshots. There were certain things about them that I thought just didn't look right for a Wii game. I guess that just shows how low my expectations have come, that
when I see
a good-looking Wii game, I just immediately assume that it's fake.
But Ace Combat 5 on the PS2 looked really good.
Right.
It looked
right. That's if these really are the real Ace Combat people working on this, they are pretty much graphical masters.
Yeah, and
yeah,
they
you're right.
They use,
some of the Ace Combat games are absolutely gorgeous.
And they use this technology they have. I think it's called GOI, which is how they do the ground and why the ground looks so awesome from the air and looks like such total shit when you're about to crash into it. But but ideally, you won't come anywhere near the ground, so it's not a big deal. But
so do we know like how like is this going to be a sort of Wii Remote nunchuck setup?
Yeah,
as you might expect, or they're not
you're
going pointer only, are they? Like Factor Five?
No, it's going to be Wii Remote nunchuck, and you're going to steer with the analog control on the nunchuck, and I think you're going to do the remainder of the controls with the Wii Remote.
Okay.
They're not going to go too far out there with controls. They're just sort of trying to streamline them down to what you have two major buttons on the Wii Remote and motion control.
I hope they give us some options.
They probably will.
That's all I ask for.
Sure.
But if it's anything like the Ace Combat games, you'll be utterly befuddled by the controls for 3 or 4 minutes because they'll feel no need to tell you what they are. And then after you've spent 3 minutes trying to shoot something down, you'll figure it out.
All right. Well, Skycrawler is currently only announced in Japan, but who knows?
Yeah.
It certainly seems like a strong possibility it could come out here, barring any kind of licensing.
Especially if the movie makes its way over here. If the movie makes its way over here, you can be almost certain it's going to. And most of production IG's work does wind up in the U.S. after about a year.
Well, sort of. I mean, like, I guess the Ghost in the Shell stuff came out in America, but not in any kind of mainstream capacity. It was, like, really art house stuff. I mean, it's not the kind of movie release that you'd want to be marketing with a video game adaptation.
There was a video game adaptation of Ghost in the Shell.
Right, yeah, I realized that.
And it was terrible.
It was a big failure.
But, yes, there was
I thought the demo was amazing. I played a demo of it on, like, the PlayStation Mix CD or whatever they used to be called. And I thought the demo was crazy. Like, you could climb on the walls and all over the ceiling. I thought it was really cool. But I never played the final version.
It was sort of like what Crackdown became. It was what they were going for.
Yeah, this was on PS1.
Yeah,
It was a long time ago, but I was really amazed by the demo, but never played the real thing. I have not seen the Ghost in the Shell movies, but I've heard they're totally incomprehensible.
Oh yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're really weird.
But you know, I feel like they could almost release this game without having to release the movie, though, because it's not like it's tied to known characters or anything. This is sort of a new IP.
Right, and they say that it's kind of the story is separate from the movie.
Yeah, so I mean, they could in theory go ahead and just put the game out on its own, but that might just be wishful thinking on my part.
I don't know. It probably comes down to like legal licensing issues. I mean, Namco is pretty good about releasing most of their games in the U.S., so I don't think it's like a publisher issue at all.
Yeah.
So hopefully, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it certainly looks very interesting from what we've seen so far. Well, we need to wrap up this show. Thanks for listening, everyone. You'll notice we didn't have any listener mail this week. For one thing, I wanted to take a little break from it, and also because the last episode took a little bit longer to edit, we didn't really have a whole lot of time for people to send in letters before we recorded today.
I'm sorry.
So we're just going to build up. We're going to accumulate until next time. So please remember to send your letters to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. If you already sent one, don't worry. We've still got it, and we'll consider it for selection on the next episode. But, yeah, we'd love to get some cool ideas for topics and feedback and kudos and whatever else you want to send, complaints.
Hate mail. Send in the hate mail.
We'll read it
all. We will mock you.
The funnier your hate mail is, the more likely it's going to be read.
Please send death threats.
Quote of the podcast right there.
Of course, we also like to remind our listeners every now and then that we have another podcast, Radio Trivia Podcast Edition, which is awesome. And we play like video game music, and you try to guess what game it's taken from. And the most recent episode, hosted by TYP, has a guest host, Greg Leahy. So fans of Greg, and I know there are a lot of you out there. I hear from you, actually. I'm not kidding. There really are. Definitely Greg
fanboys.
And you know, there's no mystery as to why. But yeah, if you like the sound of Greg's dulcet tones, check that out. It's a great show anyway. You should already be subscribed.
Radio Trivia.
If you've never checked it out before, this is a good
Radio
chance.
Trivia Podcast Edition can stand on its own merits. Show you that.
It really can. They should be advertising for us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Are we going to try to shame TYP into advertising?
Hey, I
now?
Did it, alright? I got on there and did it. I pimped this show. Alright, I'm out there fighting
Good.
For us.
Thanks for the plug, man.
You're a cheap whore.
Yeah, I'm doing it for the team.
We love
you
for
know?
It, man.
It's not for my own
I know.
Self. I assure
we love you,
you
for
not
it.
For
you're
my...
out there showing your wares.
Making one for the team.
Looking good. Looking
completely
good.
Intended.
I can assure you it's not for my own self-aggrandizement under any circumstances.
Hey, it's all Greg all the time on Greg TV.
Hey, I'd watch that.
You really all right,
that just came off as creepy. Man.
Let's just say I'm better.
Yeah, I know.
Let's just say I'm better suited for all. All right,
that is the end of this episode. Please enjoy the Jason Ricci music at the end of this episode, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Yeah, we really needed another copy of Bubble Bobble.
Hey.
Dude, I know I do.
Yeah, take that. Take that. Yeah. Bring it home.
It's hard to do with Skype lag, but I think we pulled it off, John.